Take possession of your possession, Father. For we all belong to you. We are the sheep of your pasture. And all of our confessions, our testimonies, our adoration and worship is unto you. Be glorified in us. Be exalted in us. Be enlarged in us. Show forth your glory in and through us as we worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. In Jesus, our Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you so very much for leading us in worship tonight. It's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. To know that we are loved with an everlasting love by a God who cannot lie. And God says he loves us with an everlasting love. That's exactly what it means. Thank him for that. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. Things is the third week now that we've been going through this chapter, and we've been stuck in a good way. In verse 7, and I'm going to try not to get stuck again tonight. But we need to start there to introduce ourselves to where we're going. It says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. That is awesome. We have redemption through his blood. That's a powerful word. Apolytrosis. When we think about redemption, we are talking about somebody purchasing, as we'll see, but we're talking about somebody who's ransoming, paid a ransom price. To bring about a deliverance. So a ransom price was paid. And it is difficult for us to think in terms of the ransom being paid, the price being paid, a purchase being made, and bringing the devil into the equation. But the reality is that the devil had us. We were his property. We had sold out to him. And God is not a thief. So there was a negotiation made. For ransom to take place, there was a negotiation made. And that negotiation, as we said, had to do with the throne. But the currency for that, which the throne backed, was the blood. But the blood ultimately is love, the love of God. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about the love of God. Amen? Don't forget that. So when you say, I plead the blood, you are saying, I plead the love of God. But God is love. So when you put that in place, you are bringing the love of God into play, and the love of God separates you from the devil. Hallelujah. You're surrounded by love. You are covered by love. You are infused by love. And that love is what brought about the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. What is that all about? The word of God could have said, according to the riches of his patience, according to the riches of his mercy, according to the riches of his goodness, but uses the word riches of his grace. Now, what is that about? The grace of God, charis, is the enablement of God, the empowerment of God, released into my life to do what I cannot do by myself. Amen? So when the word of God says the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, watch out this. Watch out for this. This is God operating by faith, recognizing that you will make it because he gives you the power to make it. And though you fail, forgiveness is available because he knows that you're going to cross the line, the finishing line. Hallelujah. God sticking with us because he has riches of grace and releases more grace and more grace in abundance for us to finish the race powerfully. That means this then, that I must not give up on myself, and I must never give up on God. God, you are the one who's forgiven me, and you have given me the power to live victoriously. Well, let's go back to that word redemption. To redeem is not only about ransoming, it's about repurposing, to deem something for something. So, in him, we have a new purpose. We have a new destiny. We were destined for hell. Now we're destined for heaven. Amen? We're destined to remain in the kingdom of darkness, but now we're destined to be part of the family of God. That's part of the redemption. God doesn't redeem us to shelve us. God redeemed us to use us for his glory. So God has a plan for my life. So I can wake up every day and say, God, what's the plan for today? What are we going to do today? What are we accomplishing today? What is it that you have on your mind for me today? Because whatever it is God has on his mind for me today is what God has for me. And that is part of what God has for me for the lifetime that I have in this realm. Until I cross this realm into the other realm, which we sometimes call eternal life. But eternal life is what you already live in. You're already in eternal life. Amen? If you're not in eternal life right now, then there is no eternity. And that eternal life is in Christ Jesus. Amen? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In all wisdom and prudence. In all Sophia. Sophia is that word for wisdom. And phronesis is that word for prudence, and it has to do with the activities of wisdom, mental activity, good sense. It would have been enough for God to just use the word wisdom and have it all covered, because those two words are very similar words in meaning. But God is saying, listen, verily, verily. Hallelujah. You're wise, wise. Glory be to God. To have that intellectual aspect, that moral insight, and being a person of discernment, knowing what to do and what not to do, having clear understanding. Interesting enough, that word phronesis has to do with the knowledge of knowing the will of God. Prudence, knowing the will of God, knowing the heartbeat of God. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Oh, there it is. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. If it's a mysterious thing, then it's not something that you understand readily. You have to have the Spirit of God, and the things of God are spiritually discerned. And there is a mystery about that which you see, because God has another layer to whatever it is that you are seeing. That's why it's a mystery. That's why for the second week or third week now, I've been stuck in verse 7, and I don't think I've really repeated myself that much. And I could go back to that verse 7 and speak for the next 1 hour and not repeat myself, because there's mystery, layers. And when you pursue after God with your heart, God begins to open doors. There used to be a drama series years back. I think it was Smart or something, I don't know, where this guy walks, you know, comes through a door, and this door opens, and then another door opens, and another door opens, and another door opens, and then he goes into an elevator or whatever. Well, that's God. As you come in, doors start opening. Chip, chip, chip. Mysteries. You don't know that it's there, but as you're approaching it, another door. It's like an onion, layers to it. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Wow. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. He didn't leave this to somebody else. He didn't leave it to angels. He purposed it in himself. A good God knows what he wants. knows exactly what he wants. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish through this one. May I say this to us? The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, is not just a general statement for everybody. But there's a specific aspect to that mystery of his good pleasure that concerns you as an individual. Something in particular that God has on his mind just for you. Your fingerprints are different from mine. God has a very specific will for my life. God has a very specific will for your life. Now, his will for your life and his will for my life may interconnect, but his will for my life doesn't necessarily mean the same as yours. We may arrive at the same place, but you have a particular role to play, and I have a particular role to play. Tonight, we're missing somebody on the backboard. And normally, that person will put the songs on the screen when it's time for us to sing. But because of whatever reason, that person was not able to be here today. And we didn't have somebody else that had the knowledge to do what that person does. So we had to sing. If we knew the song, or just move our mouths if we didn't know the song. Well, when we are in our particular places, the whole thing flows together. God has a particular role for every one of us. There's nobody in this church that hasn't a particular assignment. Everyone here has an assignment. The question is, have you taken up your assignment? Because I tell you what, if you're not taking up your assignment, you're not experiencing the blessings and the good pleasure. Something God has for you. And when you step into it and you begin to flow in it, you begin to experience God in a new dimension. We cannot count ourselves out. We've got to present ourselves to him and say, God, in the fullness of your wisdom, in the mystery of your will, according to your good pleasure, which you have purposed in yourself, you have something assigned for me. There's a reason for me. There's a destiny. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, this is the ultimate thing that God wants to do, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's incredible. Gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. He wants to bring everything together in him. I don't know if we grasp what God is saying here. If he says everything, he means everything. Why is that? Because everything that is came out of him. Everything that is came out of him. and he gathers everything that is back to him. That's an incredible truth. Why is God gathering everything back to him? Because everything gathered back into him gets sanctified, gets fully purified, so that whatever else God wants to do, he does it, and it's a real new start. Everything. Then he can start whatever he wants to do. He's not told us what he's going to do, but we do know he's going to do something. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, being present tense continuous. That when we talk about present tense continuous, we're talking about present tense continuous. That is a tense that doesn't have a past. It's always now. But as soon as you go past it now, it's now. As soon as you go past the now, it's now. And God says, I'm the God who starts you strong. Predestinated us according to the purpose. Predestinated. That means predestined us according to the purpose of him. Watch this. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What's the point? Remember this, his purpose in him. Now it's worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This does not mean negotiating with anybody else. I know what I want, and what I want is what is. God has a perfect will. And we need to obtain that inheritance. What is this will? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, that we will be to the praise of his glory. That's what he wills. The praise of his glory. The Queen of Sheba came and saw Solomon and was awestruck at the glory that was present around Solomon, from the servants, everything about this guy was so glorious. And what God is trying to say to us is this, that we should be to the praise of his glory, that he wants you and I to be so uniquely placed that people, their jaws drop to the ground and say, wow. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how it is that you have different men of God, women of God, ministering. And each one ministers and people say, wow, that was so good. Oh, man, are you ever anointed? And then the other person, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. And someone, oh, my. Because we see the glory of God in each person. Can you imagine how God wants to fashion you and I as we connect with him, as we recognize the fact that we've been redeemed for a purpose. A purpose to be the praise of his glory. God wants to do something uniquely wonderful with my life that causes others to celebrate the goodness of God, cause angels to celebrate the goodness of God, cause all creation to celebrate the goodness of God. That's an incredible place to be. This is in God's agenda. This is happening to whom? To those that trust him. Verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted. God is showing this glory in those that first trusted, but not only in those that first trusted, but in those that now trust. Because he's a God of the present tense continuous being. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. What's the idea? The idea is that God has released salvation to all mankind, and that some do not know it. And now we bring that word to them and tell them, did you know the war is over? Did you know that we are free? What are you talking about? Yes, we are free. It's like somebody come in and the government decided that, you know, we don't have to pay taxes anymore. And every week, you keep on sending checks to the government for your taxes. And then somebody comes to you and says, did you know you're not supposed to pay taxes anymore? I say, get out of here. What do you mean? I just paid my tax. No, no more taxes. Since when? 20 years. What? What are you talking about? Well, that's the idea. The gospel of your salvation. That's the good news. Whom also after that ye believed. I like the next statement. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Huh? You mean when I got saved, when I received the word of salvation, I got sealed? Yes. You got marked. It's a stamp. But paid for in full. Yeah. Right there. Bang. You mean I'm no longer a slave to sin? No. You saved? You received Jesus? Yeah. And there comes the Holy Spirit. Spirit of promise for those who accept the salvation. The gospel of salvation. But what is that gospel of salvation? The recognizing, the recognition of the fact that Jesus came, died, was buried, rose again from the dead, ascended, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. 1 Corinthians 15. And that you died with him. Watch this. You were buried with him. Watch this. He went to hell. You went to hell with him. Ah, that's good news. That means you've been there and you don't have to go back. Oh, glory be to God. God fixed this perfectly. Hey, this guy cannot go to heaven Where do you think he needs to go? He needs to go to hell. Why? Because he sinned. What do you have to say? I plead the blood. I died with him. Praise God. You have the power and the ability to say to the devil, devil, you I don't buy your lie. Weren't you there? I died with him. I was buried with him. Don't you see? Look again. I went to hell with him. And I came out of hell with him. And you want me to come back there? No, I can't go back there. I'm ascended. I'm seated with him. And I reign with him. Hallelujah. That's the power of our confession. Devil points to you with the spirit of condemnation. You can point him to where he's going. You've got the grace of God operation on your life, and you have the mark, the seal. It's an unbroken seal. The seal of the Holy Spirit. This is important. The seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. Because this is the sign that says affirmatively that you have been bought with a price. Sealed. When you deny the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, you break that seal. When you deny what God has done, you make it impossible for you to be part of the family of God. When you doubt your salvation, you are pushing yourself in that direction. Never doubt that God loves you and gave himself for your salvation. The Bible tells us that it is through the Spirit of God that Jesus was able to present his blood as an effective weapon for our salvation. So we've been sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest, that's the proof of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now this is interesting right here. This is. You know, when you go to a store and you're going to the store, you see an item and they have a sticker on it, sold. Huh? You go to a furniture store or whatever, and you want or a bed or television, and they have sold on it. Or you go to an automobile place, a car shop, and you see this nice vehicle. You like it, you want it, but they have sold on it. Well, we are still in this world. Watch this. I want you to get this. We are in this world that the devil has control over. We've not been taken out of this world, but we are still in this world and we have sold. Belong, you know, you go to a car company, sold to Mr. So-and-so, sold to John. When the devil is busy moving around, he sees sold to God. He goes, sold to God, bought by God. That means don't go there, don't touch. I don't know if you get that. Don't go there, don't touch. This one belongs to God. Purchased possession. We are the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. If the enemy or the seller ever touches what has been sold to you, it's to make sure that it is cleaned properly. I don't know if you're getting what I'm talking about yet, but I will explain it another way shortly. So you have this vessel that, imagine that you're that vessel, you're in the store and you've been sold. If the owner of that store ever touches you, it is to make sure that he dusts all the stuff that's stained on you off of you. Let me put it another way. You see, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. It is what you don't know that keeps you in bondage. Do you know that the ambassador of the United States in Canada is not just protected by the American government, but is protected also by the Canadian government? Yeah? Because that ambassador is a representation and a representative of the United States. God says you are His ambassador. So guess what? Not only is God protecting you, the devil makes sure that he does not mess with you. But if you don't know that you have diplomatic immunity, then the devil will mess with you because you don't know what you should know. You get it? So, we've got to come into an understanding of who we are and to whom we belong. Yes, I may still be in this world, but I am not of this world. I have been purchased by God, and I have been sealed by His Holy Spirit. He's put a marker on me that I belong to Him. And the devil knows that I belong to Him. And the devil knows that he cannot mess with me, because if he messes with me, he has to pay. That's why anyone who has been messed around with by the devil that knows that they belong to God needs to demand payment for pain and suffering. You need to sue. I am placing a suit on the enemy who has been harassing me, harassing my finances, harassing me and my health, harassing my family, harassing my relationships, harassing my business, my whatever. I'm suing. And the greatest payment you should demand is souls. Devil, you mess with me, whoever it is that sold their lives out to you, you got to release them. Amen. They didn't know what they were doing. But today I demand a release of lives who are in bondage. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've been purchased. Until the redemption. Until the redemption. The redemption in this case is redemption of collecting. Remember, he's going to bring everything all together unto himself. So there is a day when everyone is going to be collected. Everything that belongs to him is going to be collected. But meanwhile, we are here, we are there, but we are here. But there's going to be a day when me up there and me down here are going to meet together. Praise the Lord. So you bought the car. It's still in the car lot, but it has sold sign on it until you come collect it. Glory be to God. Yeah, God has already paid the price. I hope this is making sense to somebody. I'm doing my best by the Spirit of God to make it clear. You get it. In everyday language, when you're going through something, say, I belong to God. You can touch me. I belong to God. And remember, he's already taken the picture of me as I was when he bought me. And there is a change that happened in my life when he bought me. So now, if there's any change when it comes, you have to explain. So don't touch me. You know, back home in Nigeria in days back, when a father and a mother gave their daughter to a husband, the siblings, parents, they will come, they will bring the man, say, see these hands? Do you see any scars here? No. Any scar on the face? No. On the legs? No. In the back? No. She looks right. Yes, sir. Okay. Any day we see a scar on this woman that is not there now, we're coming for you. We are coming for you. We're looking. Yeah, that's God. There cannot be a scar on this son, on this daughter. Because I paid for him. I sanctified him. I made him holy. And I'm preparing a place for him. And I'm coming for him. There cannot be a mess, a stain, a blemish, or a wrinkle. Guess what? When you start acting that way and thinking that way, the devil has to think twice to come messing around with you because you know your rights. But my people perish because of a lack of what? Knowledge. You don't know your rights? The devil has the right to mess with you. But we now know our rights. And we say no to the devil, and we say yes to God. And that would be a good place to stop today. Just remind yourself, I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. And the devil has no power, no authority, no rights over any aspect of my life, none whatsoever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. Lord, let this word of life forever change us. You said you will do exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think. We are aware, very aware, that we've been purchased. With a precious price. We belong to you. And you've granted us grace to walk uprightly before you. Father, let your purpose, that which you purposed in yourself, concerning us as individuals and concerning us as a corporate body, be made manifest. We reject Satan and all his lies, and we cleave unto you, author and finisher of our faith. We say yes to you, yes to your will, yes to your plans. Your kingdom, Father, let it come. And your will be done now in the earth as it is in heaven. That these words not just be words written in some book, but let these words that we read be a life lived out on a daily basis. For your glory and honor, your praise, worship, and adoration, and for our benefit. This we ask, Yahweh, in Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust that we learned something tonight. At this time, we'll honor God with our giving. Let's release our offering unto him as expressions of thanksgiving. God, who has loved us with an everlasting love. He's the God who sanctifies us unto himself. A God who wants us to be the praise of his glory. Because he beautifies us. He sanctifies us. We honor him and thank him for this now and for the always of our lives. Amen. Look forward to seeing you next Friday as we fellowship together in the presence of the Lord and in prayer. And please be reminded that our next conference is going to be in May the 21st to the 23rd. And we want to encourage you to participate with us. If you find any other announcement concerning that particular conference, which we are calling the Spiritual Reset Conference, any other information that you find that is not 21st to the 23rd, that will be the initial date of the 14th to the 16th, but those are no longer the dates. Instead, it's going to be the 21st to the 23rd. So do take note of that, and please start now to spread the word to others so that you can participate in a very powerful gathering of the saints. That will be Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost weekend. And we are looking forward to what God is going to do. Because the first Pentecost was God's real, true spiritual reset. Amen. And we are expecting that to be our experience also. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And good night. Love you. Well, let me say hello to those that may be on Zoom.